Today, this morning, we have the great privilege of having Rav Aryeh Stackler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Heichal, here this morning. You all know Rav Stackler not only for being the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Heichal and running such an important and significant yeshiva, and he has so many Talmidim in this camp, but also the way I know him is from a lot longer ago, but the way we all know him is for being a significant Talmud Chacham. Someone who you'll see every year when he comes to give a shiur in Keli. One thing I always notice about him, and has always been true about him, is that Rav Stackler always has a chiddush. He always has a unique way of looking at things. He always has a very creative lamdish mind that is very rare. And we appreciate being able to hear his Torah in this context, and I appreciate him taking the time to come and to share his Torah with us. And he's even saying Shir in Birchas Kohanim, so it's very exciting for us. Thank you very much for this time.
Yeah.
Record it, didn't happen, so.
My recorder's on anyway.
Oh, your recorder's on. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Just want to give you mostly the reason I came was hopefully all the visitors, Gidolim, and then myself, will give you chizuk that what you're doing here is amazing. Just to spend 4 weeks of the summer learning in such a beautiful place. Blown away just coming here for a few seconds. And not only that, but creating the ikkar of the camp, the foundation based on Torah, is very, very special. So I thank you for opening your arms to our Talmidim, to Teichman, but also to all the other Heichal Talmidim that are here as waiters, counselors, campers. The fact that you guys are sitting here learning sets the tone for their summer. And the fact that you have the dream team here, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Rosner, it's just what a special summer. So you guys should take advantage. And, you know, my summers at Moresh HaKola that you have on the wall, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Cohn, these are the summers that really impacted me in my life. And I still remember them vividly, you know, fondly today. So appreciate the moments as they last. As they say, and don't take it for granted. When I was in YU in the late 90s, at your age in college, the big issue then, which has somewhat died down, which was a nice thing that died down, was that there were a lot of different people in the modern Orthodox community who were rabbis who were postulating very, very important Kali Dik Tzibur oriented shilas. And I was in Rav Schefter's shir at that time, probably Rav Leibowitz was also around that time, and it was very troublesome to him. He would cry every day in shir because he felt that there wasn't an understanding in the modern Orthodox community that there were different levels of rabbis. There were rabbis who were sent out throughout the country, throughout the world, to paskin your everyday shilas for their communities, and that was the goal of YU Smicha and other smichas. But then there were some really important questions that affected the whole tzibur that should have been answered by Gedolei HaPoskim, and it wasn't necessarily the case in that time, and he was very bothered with this. And that was one of the themes of my experience at YU, was understanding that in order to answer really important questions that affect all of Klal Yisrael, there has to be a total understanding of all of Torah, which is very rare. As an example, Rabbi Tendler, Zechutzav Tavrocha, spoke once about the Shagas Aryeh, and the Shagas Aryeh was asked to be the Rav of his town, and he said that, you know, I know all of Shas very well, except Maseches Krisus, so I can't accept the position. I think he was 18 or 19 at the time. I can't accept the position to be the rabbi of your community. So the community made a deal with him. They said, we won't ask you questions in Maseches Krisus, and then you'll be okay. So we'll only ask you questions in the rest of Shas. Any halachic questions that relate to Krisus, we won't ask you. So he went through and explained to them that basically every question He didn't know Maseches Krisis that well, but he explained that every question that you could possibly ask, he knew enough of Maseches Krisis to know that it was all tied in to Maseches Krisis. So he said, "I can't accept until I finish all of Shas." Berchas Kohanim, but just parenthetically, that's one of the. That's one of the member of the dream team. That's one of the reasons that there were questions revolve around the concept of the Yoetzet Halacha answering Hilchos Nida questions. On the one hand, it's such a beautiful idea. If one woman is going to feel comfortable asking Hilchos Nida Shaila to a woman that wouldn't have felt comfortable asking it to her Rav, so then it's, on the one hand, you'd say it's worth it to have this concept. But I remember hearing from my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, David Tzadik Lebracha, I don't remember if he was pro or con at the end, but he said one of the issues was that it's very hard to just learn one area of halacha and then to know how to paskin. So you could sit down with women and teach them all Hilchos Nida, but it'd be very hard to learn how to paskin by just learning one area of halacha. As an example, he said, you know, a lot of the halachos of Nida, a lot of the shailas come up depend on bein hashmashos. So you have to really understand the sugya of bein hashmashos in order to paskin Hilchos Nida shailas. And in Hilchos Nida, they don't go in through all the details of bein hashmashos. You have to learn that sugya and Shabbos separately. So he said that's one of the complications of creating poskim or poskot for just one area of halacha. Really, you need to be in yeshiva for many years and to understand how the gemara works, how halacha works, and then you could become an expert possibly in one area. I also felt that was true for men also. I felt the concept of how we learn, teach Hilchos Nida, I don't know, this is really Rabbi Leibowitz's area, but the way we teach Hilchos Nida in yeshivas now is very, very strange to me. That they take the halachos as they are in Shulchan Aruch, and then they trace it back to the sugyas. So you'll learn the particular sugya that's relevant to that sif in Shulchan Aruch. But when I had the opportunity to learn Maseches Nida first, and then to learn Hilchos Nida after that, when I learned it, so many of the halachos, and again, I was just very young at that time. I'm not an expert in Maseches Nida or Hilchos Nida in any stretch of the imagination, but to me, so many of the understanding of the halachos depended so much on an understanding of Tuma and Tara that go throughout the whole Maseches Nida. As an example, the first thing you learn when you get to Hilchos Nida is you learn about Hargasha. Hargasha is a major sugya in Hilchos Tuma and Tara with Zav and Zava and Balkeri, and these are sugyas in Maseches Nida, and to just focus in on the Nida aspect of it is very strange to me. So one of the areas of halacha that you guys are zocha to learn this summer, which ties in with so many other areas of halacha, is Berchas Kohanim. It's such a beautiful limud, because anytime you're going to be learning any other, you're going to get up to hear a shir in Shomea Kaona by a big Talmud Chacham, or when you're giving a shir one day in Shemei Kaona, so you guys already learned. I saw the shir on Wayu Torah, right? See, Berchas Kohanim is a key discussion in the concept of Shemei Kaona, right? What's the Shaila Berchas Kohanim Shemei Kaona?
Can one Kohen do it on behalf?
What?
Can one Kohen say, like, Berchas Kohanim?
Why not Shemei Kaona?
Because then you know the Kol Ram.
You know Kol Ram, excellent, right? The Beis Halevi. Right, so now that you guys know Berchas Kohanim well, so you can really understand that question of Shemei Kaona and how it relates to the Kli Shas topic of Shemei Kaona. I happen to be learning Hilchos Tzitzis this summer with our program Shoko, which is similar to this, just for high school kids, and we don't have the dream team there. But we're learning Hilchos Tzitzis. The first topic in Hilchos Tzitzis is in Siman Ches and Shulchan Aruch is whether you have to stand for on your tzitzis, to make a bracha on your tzitzis. So when I was doing that, I was thinking to myself, trying to think about where are halachos of standing all through Shas, and there are so many of them. And just an example, like, it's very hard. If you were just learning Hilchot Tzitzis, and you never learned any Gemaras before, and you never knew anything, to understand the shiloh of whether you have to stand to put on Tzitzis is very, very hard. Because there's so many areas of halacha where you have this concept of whether you have to stand or not. So again, to be at the highest level, to paskin on these shilohs, you really have to have an understanding and a knowledge of Shas and halacha in general, and then you could analyze the particular topic in front of you. What do you do until then? So then we might as well stop learning, unless we're Rosh Hashanah, we leave, right? No. So we're building towards that. We're building towards that. We're learning every Sugya now, but with the understanding that Hajj and Allah, we're going to come back time and time again to each Sugya as we know more and more of Shas, know more in Halacha, our understanding of the particular Sugya that we're learning is going to be informed by our knowledge, right? And we're learning now in order to build that knowledge for the future. So that's really our long-term picture. So let's start a little bit here with what you learned already with Rabbi Leibowitz. I listened to the shiur, it was a beautiful shiur on whether you have to stand for Berachas Kohanim, and maybe this will help me a little bit in my learning of Hilchos Tzitzis, and we will not go that long because I know you guys have your own Seder. So let's talk about Amida by Berachas Kohanim. So what does the Gemara say? What do we got? Need some participation because my voice is not strong, as you can hear. Yes.
Because they did the avodah standing up, they should do Birkas Kohanim standing up.
Okay, so that's the second opinion, Rav Nosson, right? Rav Nosson Omer Ein Tzarech the other Limud Harehu Omer L'Shor So L'Vorich B'Shmo Ma Mishoriz B'Amida Af Mivorich B'Amida. Good. Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Excellent. How do we know Mishoriz Gufei Menol and Dechsev Lamod L'Shoriz? Okay, so that's from Nussin's opinion. What was the other opinion? Kosev Aruchu, right? Har Grizim and Har Avon. So the Levim, it says there, Elu Yamdu Levarech Esa'am. So just like the Levim, Kohanim, they stood to give the bracha, Kosev Aruchu, to dinim bracha that you require amida. Okay. And then Rabbi Leibowitz discussed, Tosa says, If you hold it's like avoda, then it's possibly b'di'evet a problem. I mean, it's definitely b'di'evet a problem according to Tosos. And he discussed that really fascinating case of the old man and what to do in that case. So, just wanted to get a little bit into some of the more of the problems. Most of them Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out. But what would you say? Is Berachas Kohanim like avoda or not? That's what Rav Nosson says, right? And you saw in the Rambam, Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out that there's a stira. He learns out Amida from Kosev Aruchu, but he says that there are certain psulim and Kohen is doing out certain ameiros that the Rambam says is kavoda. So what would you guys say? Is Berachas Kohanim avoda or not? What do you got?
I would say it's not. We're saying it's like avoda, like it we're cooling to it.
Okay, where do you see that it says it's like avoda?
The Gemara.
The Gemara doesn't use the word like, but someone else did. The Rambam used the word like, right? He said ke. So he said like. So.
And also, if it was avoda, would we still be doing it nowadays?
We don't do any of the avoda nowadays, right? It's a good point. Very good, Raya. Okay, so I mentioned this once before when I came to Camp Kaylee, but whenever you have a chuf, right? I'm sure you learned this with your Rebbeim. You always have to understand, what does it mean that Berachas Kohanim is ke avoda? The Rambam says ke avoda. So when I was a kid, there was a commercial that if you drink Gatorade, to be like Mike, right? So if you drank Gatorade, how much would you be like Michael Jordan, right? Would you be able to dunk from the foul line? Would you be able to dunk at all? Would you be able to hit any shot on the court? what does it mean to be like Mike? So when the Rambam says that, based on this Gemara on Rav Nosson, that Berachas Kohanim is Kiavoda, what percentage is it Kiavoda? So Reuben says it's very, very not like Avoda at all, because we do it nowadays, we do it outside the Beis Hamikdash, right? Okay, anyone want to take the opposite perspective that it's much closer to Michael Jordan? Yeah.
Rav Nosson
has a heckish. Excellent. What's your name?
Yossi. Kamenetsky.
What's your first name?
Yisrael
Kamenetsky? That's a good name, Dad. Okay. So Yisrael Kamenetsky says like this. I've never called you by your first name before. So Yisrael says that... That there's a heckish. What does heckish mean? What does it mean to have a heckish? You guys have learned a lot of heckish in your Gemara careers. What would you say a heckish is?
Connection.
Connection between which things?
Ideas.
Two halachas are connected, but how are they connected? They have the same color shirt? What are they? In psukim, right? So when a heckish means when two things are close in the Torah, then what?
We compare them,
right? They're comparable. So the same question that you ask with a kid, you have to ask with every single heckish, right? How much are they similar? How much do we compare them, right? Do they take on the same identity as one another? Or are they random third cousins, right? We normally have a principle regarding heckish. What's that principle regarding heckish? That tells us that they have to be pretty similar. Ain heckish? Matzah l'chatzon, right? So normally we say that heckish, one, if you're really going to make things, if it's a real heckish, then you got to go all in. Heckish is go all in. So that's a problem here. Why is it a problem here? Why is Yossi wrong that it's not 100% like Michael Jordan, right? Did you say 100%? I'm really putting a lot of words in your mouth. Okay, but let's assume he said 100%, right? So how do you know that Berachas Kohanim is not 100% like Avoda? Right, we had a proof here. It's nowadays, yeah, what else you got?
The Balmum is kosher.
Balmum is kosher, right? Unless it's going to distract people, yeah, excellent. Gemara Tainus calls it a asmachta, excellent. And how does Tosos and Menachos learn that Gemara?
In
Yin Amida, it's a real drasha, but everything else is an asmachta, right? So basically, this is a heckish for one thing. Very, very strange. We never find a heckish like that, right? Not, I mean, I'm sure there is, but I don't remember one, right? That there's a heckish for one thing. Their heckish is only for Amida. Everything else, Berachas Kohanim, is not really like Avoda at all. So it's not a real heckish. It's a comparison for one halacha. Very, very strange. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to try to, somewhat Alpi Drush, but also Alpi Halacha if I have more time, try to understand what is going on here. What is Berachas Kohanim? That's what you have to figure out. This whole summer, I can't do that right now. What is Berachas Kohanim? It's not Avoda, but it's compared to Avoda for one halacha. Right? And what are the differences between these two ideas that of Rav Nosson versus the Tanakhama? That the reason for standing is either Midin Bracha or Midin this very, very small connection that Berachas Kohanim has to Avoda. So just to switch to Hilchos Tzitzis for a second, so you bear with me, you help me for my learning. In Hilchos Tzitzis, we find that you have to stand up for the bracha and for the itiv. Anyone here do itiv this morning? On their tzitzis. Yes? You wear a talis? Shkaya. Beautiful. Anyone else? So is the mitzvah, yes, Baron. Okay. Shulchan Aruch Siman Ches, Yisatif Betzitzis, V'yivarech Me'umad. Okay. So, the Magen Avraham says, Perish HaBracha V'atifa Shteyem Yu Ba'amida. When it comes to the mitzvos, in general, all mitzvos and their bracha need to be done Ba'amida. And then he asks, what about challah? The Taz says here that there's a din of lachem, any mitzvah that says lachem. This is not a medrash, it's a very late medrash that says anytime there's a mitzvah that says lachem, like Sfiras HaOmer, Tkiya Shofar, other mitzvahs that say lachem, Kiddush HaChodesh, we'll get to that in a second, have to be done standing. So, what's the mitzvah to wear tzitzis? How do you understand the mitzvah to wear tzitzis? Just like you have to figure out what Berachas Kohanim is, this summer my job is to figure out what is the mitzvah to wear tzitzis. So, is anyone here obligated to wear tzitzis right now? Yes?
You have a mitzvah to put on once you the whole day. You don't have the whole day, but you have it once
a day? Okay, that's interesting. Put on tzitzis once a day. What? It's mitzvah kiyumis, which means what? You don't have to do it, but if you put on arba kanfos, then you're chayav. What were you going to say? Same thing?
We're all chayav now because we're wearing four corners.
Well, that's right. That was what I was trying to get at. Very good. Picked up on my shtick. Right? We're all chayav right now because we're all wearing arba kanfos. Right? Gershuni Shvech. Okay? Beautiful. We're all wearing Arba Kanfos. But if we would take off our Arba Kanfos, no one's obligated to put them back on. When is the mitzvah tzitzis chal? At what moment? When is the chiyuv set in? When you put it on. Okay? So let's say you're seated. Right? Let's say you're seated. So what would happen? Should I stand up and take this, right, and put it on? I'm not going to do it now because I have to make a bracha, right? But, or can I just put it on seated? Right, what would you think? I already told you the halacha, but what would you think? What? Why standing? You have to make the bracha standing. Okay, that's how some people learn. You have to make, because of the bracha, you have to stand for the tzitzis. But just the mitzvah tzitzis itself, okay, that's not how the Magen Avraham learns. He says, "Perish habracha v'ha'atifa shteyem yu ba'amida." Right? But you understand my kasha? There's no reason to stand for the mitzvah tzitzis because when you wrap it around your head, right? Right, when the second before you do that, there's no mitzvah on you. The mitzvah sets in once you put it on. Once you're wearing tzitzis, then you should stand up. Make the bracha. Right? Why would you stand for atifa? So this relates to the question of what is the role of atifa in tzitzis, which I can't get into 100%. But I wanted to share a little bit with you about what it is. And this is a really important idea for those who are wearing tzitzis in this room to understand what tzitzis is. And you all know this already. I'm not telling you any chidushim. The mitzvah of tzitzis, what is the goal of the mitzvah of tzitzis? Why do we wear tzitzis? Huh? Montesquieu. Now, what you should have said is because Hashem told us to wear tzitzis, right? That's why we wear tzitzis. But in this case, it's one of the few cases in the Torah where Hashem actually told us why we do the mitzvah. L'man tizkru. In order to remember. Right? What's the whole pasuk? Say it every day, right? L'man tizkru v'asisim es kol mitzvosai v'yisem kedoshim l'elokeinu. Right? In order to remember all the mitzvahs and to become holy. How do we become holy? the Yisem Kedoshim, right? How do we become holy? What? By doing mitzvos. That's one shot in the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah says we become holy by? It's two things. You do tzitzis, l'man tizkeru, v'asisem es kol mitzvosai, and you also put on tzitzis in order to be holy. Okay? Two pshatim in the words you say every day, twice a day. Okay? That's the purpose of the mitzvah tzitzis. Is that really the purpose? I would have said there's a different purpose. I would have said that's the result of the purpose of tzitzis. If you do tzitzis, then you're going to remember to do all the mitzvos, and you're going to be holy. But what is the actual purpose of putting on tzitzis? What happens when you put on tzitzis? What forces you to remember that you're to do the mitzvos? What does it say? V'hayolachem l'tzitzis v'yisem osam v'zchartem es kol mitzvos Hashem v'asisem osam. There's a lot of challenges in this world. There's Einechem, there's Levavchem, there's a lot of reasons we don't do mitzvahs. Not going to go into them now, but that's important for you to work on and think about. I'm sure you do. If you remember the mitzvahs, you won't fall prey to all those things. But what gets you to remember the mitzvahs? What does tzitzis do? You see that? Right? By putting tzitzis on your beged, v'asulahem tzitzis al kanfei v'gneifem, there are some, right? What happens? You see them. What do you see? Or isem oso, what do you guys see? Right? You see the... Right? We're all talmidim, we're all shafta here, we're all wearing tefillos. Right? So, you see the blue, the white. How does that get you to do mitzvos? So the Chazal Darshan, Re'isem Oso, what do we learn from Re'isem Oso? It should have said Re'isem Osam. What are we seeing, actually? We're seeing the Tcheles. You're also seeing the white. But by seeing the white and the blue together, that helps you to remember the blue is like the sea, like Shemayim, like the Kisei HaKavod, which is figuratively blue. So Re'isem Oso refers to who? Hashem. The Gemara Menachos says, or Isem Oso, that every time you put on tzitzis, you're mekabel p'nei Shechina. You are seeing Hashem. If you see Hashem, right? How many people here, if they saw Hashem standing with them, would remember to do every single mitzvah? How many people would be strayed away from by their inayim and their heart if they saw Hashem next to them? We can't see Hashem. He's not physical. So we have to have some way of helping us to see Hashem every aspect of our life. How do you see Hashem? This is how you see Hashem. Blue. Right? This is it. Ferber. No, not ferber. Right? Nature is white. There's a lot of things going on. When you color all of nature into blue, then you will see Hashem. When you see Hashem every second, you're going to do mitzvos, you're not going to stray, you're going to be holy, all those things. So why do you have to stand? Why do you have to stand, Nu, for putting on the tzitzis? So, every time you're mekabel p'nei Shechina, you have to stand. I don't have time to share all those Gemaras with you. Share the most famous one. What's the most famous one, guys? The Kabo Pnei Shechina, you have to stand. Huh? That's right, very good. Excellent, what's your name?
Ephraim.
Ephraim.
Pachko.
Pachko? Okay. It's a cooler name than Yissi Kamenetsky, but you have your own thing. Okay. Kol ha-mevarech ala Gemara Sanhedrin Membeis, we say once a month. Kol ha-mevarech ala chodesh bizmano ki mekabel p'nei Shechina. Ksiv hacha chodesh hazeh, v'ksiv hasam zeh keli van veyu. Tanin Dveri Rabbi Shmuel, Umali Lozach Yisrael, Hakla Pnei Avim, Shev Shemayim, Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh Dayim, Omer Abaye, since Kiddush Levana is Kabbalah Aspnei Shechina, we're seeing Hashem. How are you seeing Hashem with Kiddush Levana? How do you see Hashem? Where's Hashem in Kiddush Levana? Think about that. I'll give you all the answers. Right? Amar Abaye Hilkach Nimrinu Mu'umad. You have to stand for Kiddush Levana. Because when there's Kabbalah Aspnei Shechina, you have to stand. Amar Abaye Hol Mikab Rashi. You stand for Kabbalah's Hashem. When we put on tzitzis, we have to stand. The Chora, we should stand the whole day, because we're always seeing Hashem, because we're wearing our tzitzis. But it's not possible. The post can say, you can't stand the whole day. So we pick Ituf. Why do we pick Ituf? Just to explain to you very briefly, a nice drush idea, because the only way we can see, there was only one time where Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when Moshe Rabbeinu saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he look like? A Shliach Tzibur who was Me'utuf B'Talis. So even though we don't wear our Begadim Ituf, right, the Yishma'elim, how do they wear their Begadim? Totally covered, right? They cover themselves totally. Now, only the women, right? So we, for a second, we have to be like what Hashem, what Moshe saw. We have to, like, feel Hashem, see Hashem. So we wrap ourselves in our talis, and hopefully that feeling should stay with us the entire day, even when we're not standing, even when we're not mu'uta. So when we put on our tzitzis, we stand up. Why do we stand up before we put it on? Before we do the Ituf, what's the three words? Why are we standing? Kabbalah Aspnei Shechina. Coming back to Sota, to Berachas Kohanim. What are the Kohanim doing, guys? The Kohanim are saying Shem Hashem. They have to muster up the Shechina. And they have to take the Shechina. And they have to infuse that into Klal Yisrael. The Samua Shemia B'nai Yisrael. Another source we didn't have time to discuss is that even when the Sanhedrin hears the Shem Hashem, right? Because there's a case of someone who is cursing Hashem, right? They have to stand up. Because they're hearing Shem Hashem, even if it's in this terrible situation. Right? We learned that out, the Gemara learns that out from Eglon, the king. He had to stand when Ehud spoke to him because he was talking with the Shem, Ehud was talking with the Shem Hashem. The Kohanim are Mekabel Eishina. They are trying, they're reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're trying to say, I need you, Hashem, to bless the people. In order to do that, if you want to say it in Lumdish terms, there has to be a matir. There has to be a way that the Kohanim are able to engage the Shechina. We don't have time to go into it, but why is Yoshev Pasul? Why is Yoshev Pasul for Avodah? Right? You have to go back to the source. Where does the Gemara talk about that? In Zochin, good. Which parah? Who said that? And I think it might be a little earlier than that, but anyway, that's a good guess. You didn't botch that one. That's okay. Is it Chav Gimel? If he gets this right, guys, I'm letting him come up. Phew. Lose my job. Might be Chav Gimel. Anyway, the second parak begins on Tez Zayin, right? Second parak is Zochin. Tez Vama Beis lists all the psulei kahuna. What are the psulei kahuna that pass the avoda? Bachko, how many do you remember? What? Yoshi, Vamum, okay, what else? Zar, obviously. Onin, Tvil Yom, Mechusi Kippurim, Mechusi Brigadim, Shalor Rachatzi Adayim Raglayim, Arul Tamav Yoshev. It goes through all the psulim here. So what's the source for the psul of Yoshev? It doesn't say what it says in our Gemara. Yes.
Excellent.
Where is that? Where is that going? It is Chav Gimel. Oh, I thought you said Chav Gimel of an hour. He is right. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. Chav Gimel base. Okay, excellent. Woo! Lachka! Awesome. Okay. So, Tana Rabbanan, Lavo Lesharis, Mitzvah Kishuomer Ha'omdim, Shina Kosav La'akev, says Ha'omdim twice. Amalei Rav Nachman, a whole discussion here. I'm sorry. Yoshi Minon, before that, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kral, Lamo Lishares, La'amida Bechartiv, Velo Liyeshiva. So the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk of Ha'omdim also says this as well, that the whole choosing of the Kohanim, the whole choosing of the Kohanim was because I chose them to stand. What's the whole pasuk, Bashka? You know the whole pasuk, also. All right, sign this guy up. What pasuk is that? Yud Chesed. Kivo b'char Hashem lokecha mikol shvatecha. I chose you. Lamod l'shareis v'shem Hashem hu vanov kol hayamim. To stand and to serve with the name of Hashem hu vanov kol hayamim. It's a chisaron if they stand, if they sit. What's the problem? How would you, Bashka, how would you formulate the problem? If you sit, what's your problem as a Kohen? You're not picked anymore for the kahuna. I believe that Berchas Kohanim, you don't have to stand because it's avoda. It's not an avoda. We know it's not an avoda. It's only a hakish for this one thing. But what is the Gemara trying to tell us? That you were chosen as a Kohen to do the avoda. If you don't stand, you're not a Kohen who's roi l'avoda. You don't have full kiddush of Kohen. If you don't put on the begadim, you're not roi for kahuna. That's also, your kahuna is not on you. All of these things that you have to do in order to be a Kohen who's obey, they step up, they ratchet up your level of kedusha. Is this a full avoda that in order to do Berchas Kohanim, you have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, touching the floor of the Azara to be a full Kohen? Is it a full avoda that you need the big day kahuna? No. But you can't just randomly, as a regular person who hasn't done anything, you can't just get up and reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I'd like your Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to bring it down and to put it into Klal Yisrael. What do you need to do? You need to do an Amida. An Amida gives you a higher level of kahuna that is necessary for Berchas Kohanim. Why do you need a... You have to do something. You have to step up. Literally step up. Why stepping up? Because that highlights that you are Mikabel Pnei Shechina. You're not just getting up there to duch and washing hands quickly and then saying a bracha for Klal Yisrael. You understand by standing up, you understand that you need to be something special in order to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to bring the Shechina down into this world. That's what the Amida has to do with the Avoda. Amida is required in order to say a bracha, that's one shot. You can't just say a bracha. Elu yamdu levarech. One understanding is, if you want a bracha, all brachas, every single bracha we make, besides brachas anenin, brachas amazon, you want to say a bracha to Hashem, elu yamdu levarech, that's one opinion. You want to say a bracha for Klal Yisrael, you have to stand up. That's a matir for allowing you to engage the Shechina in that way. right? Baruch Ato, you want to daven out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You want to see Hashem and talk to Him? You have to stand up. Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Hashem. Every single bracha. The second pshat of Rav Nassim, it's not just a regular bracha. This is a bracha that requires kahuna. This is a bracha that on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you're engaging the Shechina to put the bracha of Hashem into Klal Yisrael. That's almost like an avoda. You have to have a higher level of kedusha of kahuna in order to do berachas kahuna. So that, I think, is possibly the two understandings of why you need Amida for berachas kahuna. Not only just is this helpful because you guys are learning, Berachas Kohanim, and I'm learning Hilchos Sittis. But just to close, I think there's so many ideas here that are essential for my Avodas Hashem, and I'm hoping for yours also. That, of course, Sittis, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second of every day, we spoke about engaging the Shechina when it comes to Tefillah and Berachas Kohanim. But so much of what we do, you guys are unbelievable. How many hours a day are you learning? It's incredible. I'm not learning the same hours you guys are learning. I'm trying to run a yeshiva and do other nonsense things that I do. I'm not learning like you guys are learning. You have to be extremely, extremely proud of yourself. Avodas Hashem level in this room, see it on your faces. It's very, very high. One advice I wanted to give you is just to be careful, to be so careful that it is not missing the key. The key is to feel and to engage the Shechina at every second, as much as you possibly can. Every time you pick up the Gemara, this is Dvar Hashem. This is Harsina Mamish. You guys are sitting right now, right? So everyone stand up. What are you doing? Right? Really, learning is supposed to be standing, right? It's a hefter because we're weak. Right? Every second is Amida Lefnei Hashem. Hashem is talking to you with these words. How many times do you guys miss davening here? Never. But how many times do we miss that one? Never start Shmona Esrei until you have focused on the first word. What's the first word of Shmona Esrei? You see? Hashem. Don't start. Stay as long as you need on that word. As long as you need. No one's rushing anywhere. There's no college classes to go to. Is Rabbi Leibowitz will be okay if you come a little late to Seder. Just focus on that one word, because that's what everything is about. Feeling Hashem, part of your davening. Feeling Hashem and you're learning. Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. You're wearing tzitzis all day. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, you're wearing tzitzis all day. You could see Hashem everywhere you go out here. It's amazing. So, Mirtz Hashem, this should be a great summer for you to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should be zochet to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have Berachas Kohanim, and Beis HaMikdash, Meher Yemein Amen.